Ah, you've all gone quiet. You all right? Isn't it good to be loved by God? Yeah, three people think it is. It's awesome to be loved by God. What an amazing thing. I remember the moment. I'm one of those people that I can remember the moment I came to faith in Christ. The actual moment. 13th of January, 1996. Laid on a bed. And I lifted my hand to Jesus. And said, Jesus, come into my life. Boosh! At that moment, totally, shockingly changed. My wife said I went away like a cross between Rambo and Arnold Schwarzenegger and came back a cross between John the Baptist and Cliff Richard. And a year later, I was still Cliff Richard, and that's how she got saved. That's absolutely true. You can ask her. Praise God. Oh, how good it is to be loved by Jesus. Do you feel loved? Isn't love a strange thing? Have you ever tried to explain what it is? What is love? What is it? You try to explain to somebody that hasn't experienced it. You meet somebody and it's just that, woo, that little, I don't know what it is, butterflies. It's not really butterflies, it's something inside of you. You're in love, aren't you? Animals don't have that. It's an amazing thing. It's an expression of the love of God in us. Let me read to you from the book of Revelation. This is the beginning of Revelation. It's from part of verse 4 down to verse 8. And this is the Apostle John has a revelation. Jesus speaks to him, and this greeting comes. It says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, made us to be a kingdom, and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. And though even those who pierced him and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him, so shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, that means the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. Grace and peace to you, it says at the beginning. Grace and peace, these two things. I was praying about this the other day and I thought, it's like an apple. I thought, well, I didn't think that, you know, it must have been God, you know, it's like an apple, grace and peace. I thought, what do you mean? Can you imagine if an apple was just the skin on the outside and you got it home and you bit it and there was nothing inside? It was just completely empty. Or if you went to buy apples, the peel off the end was just peeled off and it was just an apple without a covering. It would just be all horrible and mushy, wouldn't it? I was thinking, what is this about? It's like, well, the grace for us is like the bit on the outside that protects the inside, and the peace is the inside stuff. If you don't have grace in this life, you'll have no peace on the inside. When the things of life come at you, does anybody know that life just comes at you? I think it was Mark Twain said, life is just one darn thing after another. Life just comes at you. Or the wit who said, you know, life is a series of disappointments broken up by long periods of dark depression. Life can be difficult sometimes, can't it? If you don't have the grace of God on your life, then you will have no peace. Or when trouble comes, you struggle. You have no peace in certain situations. Or with certain people, no peace. Or lots of people there. Loads of people have said this to me, about Christmas, because when family come round and there's certain people in your family that, even though you love them, there's trouble. There's no peace often. If we have real grace from God, we always have the peace on the inside. We should have permanent peace, completely and absolutely. Here's a question. Do you have that grace? And do you have that peace? The Bible talks about the peace that transcends all understanding. In other words, it's a peace that is above all the circumstances of your life. It's a peace that regardless of what is going on in your life, you have peace. You have absolute peace. I'm sure I've mentioned it to before when our Andy was in Iraq when he was 19. Is that a situation where you should have no peace? It is. But for some strange reason, must be God, we had absolute peace. I mean, you just knew it. We just had absolute peace. When the doctor gives you that bit of news you don't want to hear, when bad news comes your way, when the circumstances of your life change and the direction of your life goes somewhere and you weren't expecting it and it wasn't what you planned it to be, you can have absolute peace. Do you have that peace tonight or not? Do you experience that peace? Do you live in that peace? When you wake at night, do you feel anxious? Do you worry? Are you concerned? You don't have to be. You can have absolute peace. It says in here about Jesus that he is, was, and is to come. Jesus is to come. It's an eternal story that we're part of. The Bible's amazing, isn't it? It's often we just focus on the sort of Jesus of Nazareth at that point. But he was in heaven before that. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. It says in the beginning of John's Gospel, Jesus was with God in the beginning. He's been here all through all time. And he comes to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, changes his form completely to that of a man, and he remains in that form. He is as a man in heaven now. Amazing. And he is coming back. We're just in the middle of this sort of eternal story. We can just focus on the little bit that we're in often, where the reality is we're part of an eternal journey. You know, our life sort of didn't begin until a certain point. So mine began in 1958, not 1858, in case you're wondering. 21st of April, not far away, just a reminder there. That was when I came into being. But for me, from that point on, it's eternal. Isn't that amazing? Eternal. Absolutely eternal, forever. Is that in your heart? It says in the Bible that God has set eternity in our heart. There's something in us. Even if we don't know Jesus, people that don't know Jesus, they know inside them there must be more to life than this. This can't be it. What happens when I die? Why do people freak out and panic and have sort of midlife crises and all of these types of things and get depressed? What is that all about? It's about this fear that my life is going to end and there's something deep inside of us, yearning at us, pulling at us, that there's something eternal about this, that we're heading for somewhere. We should be heading for God. See, the quality of our life and the length of our life isn't the issue. The real issue is, where do we go when it ends? Where will you go when you die? How old you are and the circumstances of your life are frankly irrelevant. It doesn't mean we don't care, obviously. But the truth is this, it's where you are going. Certain of where you are going. All fear of death absolutely gone. There was a boy on a train journey. He was a little boy and he was looking a little bit down. And this lady said to him, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you sure you're all right?" He said, "Yeah, I'm a bit bored. But I know my father's waiting for me at the other end." And that is our life here. Our Father is waiting for us, is waiting for you at the other end. Don't focus too much on the journey here. Often should be focused, our eyes firmly fixed on where we're heading. Is that good? We should be focused on Jesus and where we're heading. We're going to him. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Resurrection life. Is that good news? Resurrection life. When you see me in heaven, I'll be running past your window because I've got a false leg. I used to love running. I used to love it. When I was a kid, I ran everywhere. We never had a telly till I was about 10. And I used to go around my friend's house and say, "You're coming out the plane?" They'd say, "No, we're watching telly, The Man from Uncle," or something like that. I didn't know what the heck they were on about. So I just used to run round and round the block. Used to just run. I used to love it. Used to run round and round and round, waiting for them to watch The Man from Uncle or whatever else is they were watching. And then they come out to play. Every day, you come out to play, we're watching this, we're watching that. Saturday morning, I used to run around that block about 1,000 times. It was all Saturday morning telly and stuff, whatever they were watching. So when I lost my leg, my big joy was running. That changed for a while. I was delighted when I could walk a bit and eventually do a little bit of running and stuff. And as you know, I've been in the Paralympics, but it's just not the same as being able to go out for a run. So when I get my resurrection body with two legs, I am the Forrest Gump of heaven. I am going running for the first 10,000 years. Please join me. I'll be running round and round your block. There is a resurrection coming. There is a new body coming, a new heaven and a new earth. A new body, a resurrection body. You wonder what they'll be like. Wouldn't it be hilarious if we all look like minions or something? I think that'd be, sorry, I just love minions, but I don't know how funny it would be in heaven if we all look like that. There is a minion called Stu, by the way. He's got one eye. Resurrection is a reality. It's coming. Jesus was raised from the dead. We were singing, the stone was rolled away, and they went and looked, and he wasn't there. He's not there. The graves of all the famous world leaders, political leaders, religious leaders, military leaders of all human history, you can go to their graves, but not Jesus, because he's risen from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven. He is resurrected, and we'll get a resurrection body. Come on! Is that good news? Yeah. Carl's pleased about it. A few people. Resurrection. This is the reality. This isn't like, I wonder if this will happen. This isn't like, is he right? Is there a resurrection? Is there a heaven? Will I go to heaven? Come on. It's either all true, right? Let me just be honest about this. This is either an absolute load of rubbish, and every Christian who's ever walked the face of this earth is completely deceived and utterly wrong, or it is absolutely true, word for word, everything in it, absolutely true. It can't be partly true, you understand that? It can't be partly true, it can't be some of it true and some of it false. It is either all true or all false. Where are you standing? Where are you standing with this? Do you totally believe it, every single word? I tell you, to become a Christian, I was at almost the age of 38, I was. To live my life, I mean, 38's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time. You can live a lot of your life and do loads of things and different careers and stuff and family and kids and jobs and houses and cars and all sorts. You can pack a lot of life into 38 years. But when Jesus came into my life, wow, talk about, no wonder you call it born again, starting again. Wiping the slate clean and starting again. Awesome. And reading the word of God and the truth of it in my life, the power of it in my life. We should live like that. We should live like that. That is the truth for us. Because it says here, to him who loves us, he loves us. Do you feel that? Do you feel loved by God? I mean, to feel loved, just like you could burst. Like you could just burst. When I became a Christian and my wife, Marion, wasn't saved, I tell you, I thought I was going to explode. I just couldn't believe the love of God. And I remember clearly one day praying and saying to God, what do I say to Marion? Give me the words to say. How am I going to convince her? And God said to me, clear as bell, you know, a little voice in my mind, not out loud, but in my mind, say nothing. I thought, okay, say nothing. Okay, that doesn't sound like it's going to work. But I thought I was going to burst. I loved church. I loved going to church. I loved being in the worship. I loved being in the preaching. I just absolutely loved it. Hear people preaching. I'd never heard anything like it in my life. The songs bawling my eyes out like a baby. It was awesome being loved by God. Difficulty of trying to contain that at home. And obviously, at that point, being a cross between John the Baptist and Cliff Richard, Marion had noticed the difference. Many years ago, I was helping out on an Alpha course, and a lady came up to me, and she said, I'm just wondering what to tell my husband now that I've become a Christian. And I didn't really have much advice for her. I said, I'm not really sure, but I'm sure he might see some changes in you, maybe. You know, have you changed much? She said, I don't hit him anymore. I said, oh, right, you know, I'm pretending, you know, not to look shocked. So I sort of stepped back a bit, you know. She said, yeah, she said, I used to regularly beat him up, you know, I used to get drunk and beat him up. I thought, scary. I had visions of this poor little bloke getting battered. And she said, and I don't swear anymore, and I don't smoke. I said, okay, so let's just run through them. You don't punch him anymore. You don't drink anymore. You don't swear anymore. You don't smoke anymore. So I don't really think you need to say anything. He's probably terrified, poor guy. But I said, I think you'll get it. To be loved by God, there's nothing like it. To experience the love of God. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Freely you've received, freely give. If you're really loved by God and you know it, you can give that love out easily. I want to encourage you this week to love people. All you youngsters that are at school, love people. Love those kids that nobody else loves. Love those kids that are pain in the backside. Love them as God loves you. It also says here that he has freed us from our sins by his blood. Freed us from our sins by his blood. Like I said, I was 38, well, almost 38 when I became a Christian. And the weight of sin was massive on me. The Bible talks about, you know, all the things we think, that we have to give an account to God for every word that we've ever spoken, every thought, every action, accountable before God. And I didn't know that until I gave my life to Jesus. And I felt that weight go. Completely gone. It's unbelievable to feel that weight gone. Have you felt that gone? Do you find yourself sometimes feeling guilty? Sometimes feeling as if you're not measuring up to the mark? Feel as if you're not doing as well as other people? You can sort of thinking, well, I can understand why God would love those people, but he doesn't love me. I can understand why God would have a plan for those people, but I don't think he has a plan for me. I can understand how those people will go to heaven, but I'm not sure that I will. That's not true. You give your life to Jesus, you are forgiven. There's one type of forgiveness. It comes through the blood of Jesus Christ from our repentance. We confess that Jesus is Lord. We repent of our sins. We say sorry and mean it. That's it. There's not levels of repentance. It's either forgiven or not. Repentance or not. Saying it and meaning it absolutely. The blood of Jesus. There was a Christian writer called Malcolm Muggeridge. And in the 1930s, his wife Kitty was seriously ill. And the doctor said, look, she's going to need this operation to save her life. It's not actually a serious operation, but if we don't do it, she's going to die. But the problem is she's really weak, and we don't think she'd survive the operation. She's going to need a blood transfusion. So her husband, Malcolm, says, well, will you test me and see if my blood is the right type? Because if it is, then, you know, we can give her my blood. This is before plasma, for those nurses amongst you. This is pre-plasma days, and I don't mean TV screens, by the way. And so it's for a blood transfusion. And his blood is the same as his wife's. So they put this tube into his arm with a little pump in the middle, and they put the other end of the tube into his wife's arm. And he said it was amazing. This little pump was taking the blood out of his body and putting it into hers. And he said as he was looking at her, he could slowly see her face changing. And he shouted out to the doctor, take it all, take it all, take all of the blood. He was a Christian. The doctor thought he was mental, I'm sure, but you know. Take it all, because he could see the effect of it. And Jesus gave all of his blood for you. Because he loves you. He absolutely loves you. He died on the cross for us. By his stripes we're healed, it says in the word of God. Shall we stand together? Shall we stand together now if you can? This is our last Sunday night. The gospel here. We'll keep going again on Sunday mornings. preaching the word of God, giving people the opportunity to come to faith in Christ, praying for people that are sick. I just want to give you a real opportunity on this last Sunday evening. The next Sunday evening we'll be doing is our membership course on the 2nd of April for 3 evenings. You're very welcome to come to that. I encourage you to come to that. Even if you've been a member of the church for a while, it's good fun. But I just want to give you the opportunity to be absolutely sure. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that you're forgiven for your sins, if you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, just everybody close their eyes for a moment. If that's you and you want to be certain, absolutely certain, that you're going to heaven when you die, you just lift your hand quickly now. Well done. You can put your hand down when you lifted it. Well done. Put your hands down. Let's just pray for those people who lifted their hands. Awesome! Thank you, Jesus. Jesus sees that response. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your great, awesome death on the cross for people. It's your will that no one should perish. No one. God does not delight in the death of the wicked, it says in the Bible. He wants no one to perish and everyone to be saved. And he is mighty to save. We thank you, Jesus. And I just want to give you the opportunity for healing. I want to see people totally healed. Now, sometimes you can live with something and get used to it, be on medication for something, be given some, you know, the doctors say, you have this or you have that or whatever it is, and you kind of live under that. Praise God for doctors. They can do things today that absolutely, years ago, would have been called miraculous. It's an awesome thing, and there are loads of Christian doctors out there doing their ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord heals people. He heals sick people. And if you want healing tonight, no matter what it is for, if you might be feeling just a little bit unwell, a bit under the weather, or you might have something permanent and you want to be healed, dare to believe and start coming forward right now. We're going to pray for you to be totally and absolutely and completely healed. Just make your way forward. Well done, Jenny. Well done, Chris. You know, when you're diagnosed with something, you've lived with it for decades or years and years and years. Honestly, the truth is sometimes you just get used to it. And you kind of think to yourself, well, maybe this is just what it is for me. Maybe I'm just meant to live with this. And then Satan gets in your head, maybe God's punishing me. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. It's a load of rubbish. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just lift your hands out to heaven if you want to be healed? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. John was on injections, insulin, for diabetes, and he isn't now. The doctors put him on tablets. Praise God, yes. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray for every single person in this room. Lord, we pray for every person's mind. We thank you, Lord, that you'd heal, that you heal minds. We just ask you to take away all depression, all negative thoughts, all bad thoughts. In Jesus' mighty name, all headaches and migraines, in Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Jesus. All problems with people's eyes and ears, Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. Total and complete healing, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we pray for everybody's lungs, for asthma, for the heart, for the blood, diabetes, blood pressure, Jesus' name, for the heart. You know, when you the anxiety of the heart that really wears you down. Lord, I just pray you'd lift that right now. In the name of Jesus. Fear of depression be gone. Right now. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for all the organs of the body, liver, kidneys, lungs, heart, skin, everything, Lord. Total healing come. Jesus' mighty name. For every joint that isn't working properly, straighten them and bend them. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For all diseases that are quite serious, Lord, for things that people have had for years and years and years and years and years. Oh, isn't it encouraging in the Bible where it talks about people who've had certain conditions for 40 years or for 12 years or for 18 years, and yet the Lord can heal them in a moment. And we ask you that in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, mighty God. Bless you. If you come forward for prayer, you stay forward at the front, and we'll pray for you. Other than that, you're free to get tea and coffee and chocolate, and there's a tuck shop and everything here. What a church. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. If you come forward for prayer, you stay forward, and we'll pray for you.